AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Dozens are reported dead after two trains collide in Greece, some 235 miles north of Athens. BBC News reporter Neil Nunez reports.
At least 29 people have been killed in a late-night train crash in Greece. Fire officials said 85 more were injured. Rescue workers are still scouring the severely damaged carriages of a passenger train. It derailed when it collided with a cargo train and caught fire.
A new House committee that aims to identify the threats from the Chinese Communist Party and come up with solutions holds its first public hearing. CBS's Skylar Henry.
Human rights advocate Tong Yi was arrested in the 1990s for disturbing social order and sent to a labor camp.
Chinese people fundamentally are not different from the American people. They all want more freedoms.
The panel is expected to ask U.S. businesses, including Disney and the NBA, to testify about their relationships with China.
Lori Lightfoot calls being Chicago's mayor the honor of a lifetime, but she won't get a second term. The two other candidates will face off in an April 4th runoff. Supreme Court justices have heard arguments on two different challenges to President Biden's plan to forgive student loan debt for more than 40 million Americans. Challengers include six GOP-led states and two student loan borrowers. More from CBS's Jan Crawford.
Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is one of the state Republican leaders urging the court to kill the program.
As someone who paid for my school and blood, sweat, and tears and service to my nation, that's an issue that's near and dear to my heart. I'm confident the court will reach the right decision.
A confidence that was bolstered during 3 hours of arguments, as conservative justices seemed skeptical that President Biden could single-handedly forgive student debt for 95% of borrowers.
A judge orders the city of Flint, Michigan, to complete its replacement of water lines by August 1st. For years, the residents of Flint have been battling to replace contaminated water pipes. More than 10,000 pipes have been replaced since lead got into the city's drinking water in 2014. A spectacular light show has been taking place in many spots around the world, including Colorado and the UK. CBS's Steve Futterman.
Unbelievable. Wow.
This man posted an iPhone video of the Northern Lights from Fairbanks, Alaska.
That's insane.
It all takes place when energetic particles from the sun come in contact with gases in the Earth's upper atmosphere. This is one of the most prominent displays in years.
Oh my gosh, the purples and the reds.
In the western U.S., the Sierra Nevada, they're not seeing a light show, but snowfall, a lot of it, and blizzard and winter storm warnings. This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, haha, funny hour. We are back on the no sour, haha, funny power hour. What is it, Greg?
The no sour, fun time, haha, power hour. Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, ha ha, hee, fun time.
That's hilarious.
We're going to have a lot of fun hour. Kristen is off. Jane Matnier and Carol Kane filling in. We are with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. How you doing, my friend?
I'm great. How about you?
I am doing great. Last hour, so excited to have our next guest join us, and I really appreciate. I emailed her really late yesterday and said we'd love to have you on, and she made it happen for us. So welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Longtime dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Carol Deptola. Carol, thanks for making time for us today. How are you?
Hi, Carol.
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, I imagine things have been just crazy for you since you announced that you are retiring.
Yeah, you know, it's really been astonishing, like really touching emails and posts from readers and restaurant folks. So it's really been something. It's been very touching, very emotional.
You know, well, in all honesty, Carol, it's a very personal thing because before I go out and spend my hard-earned money, I want to see what somebody has to say about some of the stuff. I've been a religious reader of yours for 15 years, and if you say it's a good spot, I'll go and spend my cash there. But if you say that there are some, you know, some foibles, I'm not quite so certain I want to go. So it's very personal to people what you did.
Yeah, you know, there really is the consumer aspect of it, too. And I think, and, you know, you're both very familiar with this, but, you know, especially when you spend a long time doing something, you really sort of develop a special relationship, I think, with, you know, be it listeners or readers. People do come to trust you and know your voice, either your voice as in your spoken voice or your writing style. So it is pretty personal. And of course, you know, taste is very personal, and it's not necessarily, you know, what I like may not be everybody's jam, but I think you come to understand, oh, you know, this is where I agree with her, and, you know, and I'll look to her for those sorts of things.
Did you always want to be a restaurant critic, Carol?
Well, I always wanted to write about food. Because it just seems to me a really great way to know a lot about people. And I think part of that is because I grew up in an immigrant family. My parents were from Germany. And you notice pretty early on that, like, the food on your dinner table isn't the same as the food on the dinner table of your friends' houses when you go over after school. So I think that kind of opened my eyes to food being a a window to people and to understanding them and kind of getting what they're about. So more than how it tastes or anything, I've always just been really, really interested in food as an expression of who someone is, you know, whether it's their heritage or just how they think about food. I think it's, to me, it's really fascinating.
Okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Was there, what restaurant, it's probably like picking your, you know, your favorite kid, but what restaurant over these past 15 years surprised you and also, I guess, surprised you and you really enjoyed maybe going in not thinking exactly that it was going to be any good?
Oh, you know, it's not that I didn't think it was going to be any good, but I'll tell you, one of my favorite things to do is go to a restaurant that's in a strip mall because, you know, it doesn't look like anything necessarily fancy. It's not like walking into some temple of fine dining, you know, where they've sunk a bunch of money into how the place looks. But, you know, at that, you know, I'm just willing to be open and see what there is to find. And one place like that surprised me as to what I found there was a place called Mr. Wok, which unfortunately closed last year in a strip mall in Waukesha. And it sounds like it's going to be like sort of, you know, fast order Chinese American. And they did have those Chinese American dishes. They also had other Chinese dishes, but they also had Malaysian dishes because one of the owners was from Malaysia. And it's nothing that you would have expected, but it was really good. And for the longest time, it was the only place where you could get Malaysian food. And so I think that sort of, you know, walking into a place with an open mind and just thinking, I don't know what's going to happen here, but maybe it'll be something cool. And, you know, half the time it really will be, maybe more, probably more. But that was one thing that really delighted me. Was being able to try that Malaysian menu at a little place called Mr. Wok in a strip mall in Waukesha.
If you're just joining us, Carol Diptola is our guest, a longtime dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who just announced that she is going to be retiring after 15 years. Carol, you and my friend Carol Kane, I'm assuming, are both really brave eaters, because I am not. Is there anything that you're like, nope, not doing that? You couldn't pay me to eat that.
No, I will try absolutely anything. The only thing when I was growing up, I didn't like celery. I have no idea why. I think with most people, the reason they don't like food is it's a texture thing. And I don't know, I think the strings annoyed me or something. But even I eat celery now, too. I really don't like truffle oil, and it is, like, overused in restaurants. It's usually an artificially flavored truffle oil, and I'm not a big fan of that. I'll usually, like, you know, I'll order that if I have to, because for my job I have to. But I'm, you know, I'm not a fan of that. Otherwise, you know, bring it on. I will try anything, really.
You know,
I always feel like, you know, if you don't like it, you can always, like, discreetly spit it out. But you never know what your next favorite food is going to be unless you try something new, I think. So, you know, I'm always willing to.
The fad thing. I mean, we always see a new fad coming down the pike when it comes to food. What's on the precipice right now? What are we looking forward to going to be the new fad?
I don't know. But you know what I just noticed is there have been a few restaurants that have chips and dip as an appetizer on the menu. I'm like, well, that's kind of fun. That feels like a party. So I don't know. I mean, you know, two is a coincidence, but three will be a trend. So I'll see if the third one does it, and then we'll know. But yeah, maybe it is because, you know what, we just had a few really awful years that did not feel like a party at all.
Right.
So let's have something kind of fun on the menu, shall we? And now we're not too wigged out to be like sharing things again at restaurants. But while for a while there, it was like, ooh, our share plate's gone forever. Is like the shareable appetizer a thing of the past? No, that's come back. So, yeah, I mean, I think I think those sort of like shareable format things, that's something that's here to stay. And that was one of those things that sort of emerged while I was dining critic.
One thing, one trend, Carol, that I would like to see disappear is the constant efforts to reinvent a classic. Like, don't infuse my grilled cheese with lavender and some rare escargot pieces. Can we just, you know, it's and I understand the challenge that chefs have to be new and exciting, but gosh, just can't you leave a good thing alone?
Right. Right. People do want to set themselves apart. And sometimes those are, you know, some innovations and flavor combinations that you don't expect do turn out to be good. But I know what you mean. But, you know, on the upside, there still are lots of places that will make a really good grilled cheese sandwich. Oh, boy, I just had a good one. When I was writing about soups recently, I went to a new place on the southwest side at like 92nd in Oklahoma. And not only does the chef and owner, a little takeout place, it's very humble, make fantastic soup from scratch. You know, there's no like fake chicken, anything in there. But she also makes her own sourdough bread and makes an absolutely killer grilled cheese sandwich. So get yourself to good soup if that's what you want.
Good that soup, would, good that soup would be on 92nd yep. in Oklahoma?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. In your opinion... And I'm kind of a foodie. I'm with you. The only thing that I absolutely will not eat is oatmeal. Everything else is on the is. So what I won't eat is a very, very short list. So what is one that you would say to me, Carol? And I trust me, I like a joint. I'm not adverse to fine dining, but I just have a problem paying $75 for a steak. So where would you focus me to go? If I just wanted to go and just enjoy a fun kind of a joint, kind of, you know, have a beer and whatever.
You know, there are a lot of them. But actually, if you also would like a steak that's at a joint that's not going to cost you $75, there's this awesome little place in West Dallas called Henry Flock. It's on, 90th and National. Am I getting that right? 92nd and National. But they bought it from, do you remember the old, like, clock, the Butch's Steakhouse downtown?
Oh, sure.
It previously, yeah, he had a little place there. It's a tavern in West Dallas, you know, the traditional setup, you can tell, old building, old bar on the one side, down, you know, down a step or whatever, or the next room over is the dining room. They bought that, the new owners bought that from Jim, and or Butch, sorry, and they kept his cast iron pans. He makes a steak in a cast iron pan, and their thing is, we want to be a blue-collar steakhouse. We want to be a place where you don't have to get dressed up to have a steak. You can come as you are. You can relax, have a beer. You don't have to order a fancy wine with your steak, but they do have wine if you want it, and, you know, and just have a nice steak. Their filet is excellent, and it's a fraction of what you would pay at a high-end steakhouse.
Okay. Carol Dittola, you know, has been the longtime restaurant critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, retiring after 15 years. I'm sorry, Carol, we have run out of time. It's been a delight, and all good things to you in the future. I hope to see you out at some nice joint one of these nights.
Happy retirement.
Yeah.
Happy
I'll
retirement.
Thanks so much.
You
Thanks
bet.
So much. Take care. Bye.
This is Asgo, Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Tonight you'll prop your feet up, but for now let's eat up. Be our guest. Be our guest.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies overnight with a mixture of precipitation likely. Lows level off around 34. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 49. Cloudy again tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers, 28. A dusting of snow overnight with another 2 to 4 inches Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Carol Kane, Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. She will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. and I hope you will be as well. Carol, when you and I were talking last night about what we wanted to do today, we started talking about kindness.
Yes, it's a big thing for me this year.
I think that's wonderful. I put it in some perspective.
I don't usually make New Year's resolutions just because I think you're setting yourself up for just colossal failure. You know, and I'm not one of these. I'm going to start eating better. I'm going to start drinking less. I'm going to work out more because I know it's not going to happen. I realize that.
You're a realist like I am.
Yeah. Yes. But I did say to Lou, who's my husband, I said, you know, I'm pledging in this next new year, in 2023, I'm going to try and be a better person. I don't think I'm a schlep right now.
You're not a bad person.
No, I'm not a bad person, but there's always room for improvement as far as I can see. And I've had a couple of instances where I was like, it took everything, every fiber of my being not to confront and not to say something. And it happened at my local grocery store where I had a guy that actually, do you ever see the movie Christmas with the Cranks?
Yes.
Okay. You know that grocery store scene where they're running for the ham? Jamie Lee Curtis and this other woman are going neck and neck. This guy was doing this to me and I was just trying to get to the checkout.
And he's racing you to the
checkout. And he's racing me to the checkout. He was going to get there first no matter what. And I was just like, what? What's happening here? This is so ridiculous. And so I pulled into the area next to him and there I turned and looked and here's a guy standing there with two cartons of lactate milk. And I said, is that all you have? And he said, yeah. I said, then please go ahead.
Yeah. Because you had a full cart.
I had a full cart. And he's like, are you sure? And seriously, it was something, another light bulb went off. This just happened. So it was like, okay, you really got to be better, a better person, Carol. Because you would have thought that this guy, I had saved his child from a burning building or something. He said at least six times, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And I said to him, I said, you know, if we don't start being kinder to one another as a whole, nothing is ever going to get any better.
You're absolutely right.
Nothing. And it's so, Jane, I met this lovely woman. I've got goosebumps just thinking about it because I just think it's, I feel so strongly about this that I met a woman the other day and she was out walking her dog. And I just stopped and said, hello, good morning. And she introduced herself as Amy and her dog Stone. And we stood there and we talked and talked and talked and talked. My girlfriend Mary was also there. And I walked away and she was like, gosh, it was nice to meet you guys.
Aww.
And I walked away and I said, you know, isn't it nice that that's a good memory for her today? She'll go home and go, you know, I met some nice people. And it's not, that's the thing that I think is so interesting, that we are not curing cancer by doing this, but we are making people smile. And if you can put a smile on somebody's face, isn't that worth the price of admission? Don't you feel better?
Absolutely. And I'm a big holding the door open for anybody.
Me too.
I just like that. And it makes me feel better. And I don't care if I see you coming from halfway across the parking lot, I'll wait for you. I do it for our UPS guy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really little courtesy.
It's nothing.
It's a nothing.
Yeah.
But yet it makes a difference. On the flip side, however, I am also the same person who, if I hold the door open for someone, especially if it's a younger person, and they don't say thank you.
Oh, do you say you're welcome?
Of course.
Okay.
Because I'm that person.
Well, but I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. I mean, because there's a way that you can make people learn that they have to say thank you. And this guy with the milk, it was just so, I was so taken aback. And I've done this because I'm tall and like I've been in the grocery store and like you see some woman struggling or some guy struggling,
yes,
as they're trying to reach something on the top. And I will inevitably always go, hey, can I get that for you? Because for me, it's nothing. It's so easy to do. And sometimes I run into opposition, but most times I don't. I had one woman that said, I can do this. And I said, okay. And she's like climbing the shelves. I'm like, but don't you realize your personal safety's at stake here?
You don't have to scale Mount Everest. I can reach it for you.
No, I just think that every day I have two goals for this year. One, every day I want to learn something new every day. And my day today was with Carol. She just told me about that great restaurant. So I learned something and I'm going to go and check that place out. And two, do something nice for someone, even if it's as little as saying good morning, good afternoon, hello.
Nice outfit, nice shoes.
Anything.
Anything. Yeah. Small, tiny compliment. Just looking somebody in the eyes and smiling, like you said, and saying good morning. It's these incremental steps.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, you've laid the foundation and now it's just one brick on top of another brick on top of another brick. And if they've had a good day, if you've helped them have a good day, then the likelihood of them doing something nice for somebody else is probably pretty strong, I would hope.
I think you're onto something there.
I hope so.
I think she's onto something there.
I'm going to try and be a better person every single day of this year. I'll get back to you on the 31st of December.
We'll do a count. We'll do a recount at that time. All right. We have the bottom of the hour news coming up. When we come back, the five greatest rock and roll bands of all time. Let us know who you would select at 844-967-2789. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin.
Love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Breaking news. Three police officers have been shot in Kansas City, Missouri tonight. Their conditions not known at this hour. Dozens of people have been killed in a crash of passenger and cargo trains in northern Greece. The BBC's Neil Nunes.
Rescue workers are scouring the severely damaged carriages of a passenger train. It collided with a cargo train, derailed, and initially went up in flames.
China expert Matthew Pottinger told a House committee today China has problems in its labs.
We've seen multiple leaks of dangerous pathogens out of Chinese laboratories over the years. We've seen fatal leaks from Chinese government labs.
The Supreme Court heard arguments today for and against President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. Outside the court, graduate student Janiyah Moore.
This to me is very important, especially in regards to wanting to do more financial movements in my life and also setting a more stable foundation for myself and my family as well.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jenny.
It's up to all of us. It's not just up to Democrats. Are we ready to rid our country of this perversion and deception? You know, are we sick of massacres at churches, grocery stores, theaters, concerts? Are we sick of adults forcing children who are raped into pregnancy? When is enough enough that we're going to vote all those fascists?
I'm putting you down for Caller Hall of Fame today. We have to carry these messages, even if the Democratic Party is incapable. You keep it up, sister.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere and Carol Kane in for Kristen Bryce. She will be back tomorrow morning. Yep. At 11 a.m. You found this article.
I did, and I thought it was fascinating because maybe it's just because I've been so close to classic rock and rock for so long.
Sure.
In my FM career. And I wasn't just involved in the business. I've been a fan. Like, I remember buying I was kind of a nerdy kid. And so when I finally crossed over, I was kind of a nerdy kid. So when I crossed over, one of the first albums that I ever bought was Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic.
That's so interesting. That was one of mine first, too.
Yeah. And I defy you to find a track anywhere on that that isn't really quality stuff. But this radio station did this contest about trying to figure out who the greatest rock bands were. And I seriously, it's the top five. So there's probably a top 10 and there's probably a top 50.
Oh,
and,
sure.
You know, whatever. But this is the top five. And I know you've got some issues with some of I do not. I'm okay.
All right.
I'm okay.
With all of the top five.
Right. I mean, I have a personal affinity for Aerosmith because I've seen them so many times and I love them. But are they like a top five for me? No. I think that the criteria for the top five is how influential they might have been.
Okay.
And so number five was Pink Floyd. And I don't have any problem with that because of the fact of they were the kings of psychedelic rock. They, I mean, when you've got symphonies around the world that are going and doing the music to Dark Side of the Moon, that's crossing over into a whole nother category.
Definitely.
You know? So, yeah, there you go.
It's just, and everyone knows this track. You can't,
oh, it's,
right? It's just instantaneously recognizable.
That's, and I think that goes with these top five is that you know who that is for sure. So Pink Floyd came in at number five. They had huge performances, laser light shows. Their shows were, and talk about diehard fans. Floyd fans are diehard Floyd fans. And I defy, who did I say this to the other day? And I don't know why I said it, but I just said it. And he said that he found his Dark Side of the Moon album. When I opened it, I said, "What did you open it up and seeds fall out?"
Oh, yes. Sticks.
And he's like, this guy looks at me and goes, "No." And I go, "You're lying to me. You're lying to me." So then number four is Zeppelin. And when you've got that, the Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, and John Bonham, that, I mean, you know it's Robert Plant when Zeppelin comes on.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, so I don't have a problem with this either because they were in the 80s. Oh, no. What am I talking about? Like late 60s into the 70s, they were like the number one. They sold like 50 million albums. I mean, huge, huge. And Robert Plant, you know, he's been able to morph himself with Allison.
It's really interesting. Allison Krauss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just think that they, and that was another one that if people got their teeth into Led Zeppelin, they just never let go. Now, you started with Queen. Now, Queen were, I don't have a problem with this either. What's interesting is the British is kind of leading
the pack here.
Yeah, they're kind of taking over. But Queen, with their stadium shows, just so huge, and their rock ballads. And part of the story with Queen, too, was the fact that they couldn't get anybody to play those rock ballads because they were too long.
Right.
And when they finally did, it was just enormous and became just iconic. And that Wembley Stadium that was Freddie Mercury's last.
Right.
Is probably, to me, one of his best performances ever. Ever.
You know, I was lucky enough when I was about 17, I was either a junior or senior in high school, and we saw Queen and Kiss at the old arena.
Oh, rock on.
Oh, yeah. At the old arena. So think about the crowd size at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
And the old arena was, what, 2,000 people?
Yeah, it was small.
So you could practically touch them.
Yeah, that would be huge.
And at the time, of course, you don't realize how momentous this is. But looking back at it, it's like, well, that was kind of cool.
I didn't see Queen. It was very interesting. My daughter, Liz, is a rocker. And so Queen came, but Paul Rogers was fronting the band at that particular time. And we were down at the Bradley Center. I love Paul Rogers. I do. I love Paul Rogers. But what they did that made it so cool was they had a hologram of Freddie Mercury.
Oh, wow.
This huge from floor to ceiling hologram of Freddie Mercury singing the song, but Paul Rogers was actually like on the stage. It was very, very cool and very, very interesting. So I can't argue with Queen either.
No, I agree.
And then people are going to have a problem with this one, I'm sure. But I've seen the Rolling Stones probably 6 or 7 times. And I remember seeing the Rolling Stones at Alpine Valley. And I'm not sure what tour it was, but it was a number of years ago. And as they stepped, because they were just so iconic, too. You've got the two front men that everybody knows.
Yep.
And so we got closer to the stage. We were in that, and it started to rain. So you know what a mess Alpine can
is.
Be.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, they came out on the stage, and these two huge inflatable women came up on the side. Yeah, I don't know. Don't ask me why.
It was the 70s. Yeah. Or was it the 80s?
Late 70s.
Late 70s.
Yeah, late 70s. So very, very interesting. Very, very cool. Once again, you hear them, you know it's the Rolling Stones. Absolutely.
However, I'm just going to interject one quick thing here. As I was setting up for the sound clips I wanted to pull for this, I didn't realize their first hit, the Rolling Stones' first hit, was in 1963.
Oh, when they were clean cut?
And it's called Come On, Take a Listen, and let me know if you still think that it sounds like the Rolling Stones that you know today.
Okay.
Everything is wrong. Me and my baby party all day long.
Wow. Oh.
Couldn't get my car started later from a job.
It's kind of goofy.
It's very Beatles-esque.
Yeah.
You know, and very Herman, almost Herman Hermits.
Yeah.
Herman's Hermits kind of poppy, happy, vibey thing.
Well, and you know, yes. And that's kind of, that, you know, they were just starting to kind of like, they were the fledgling band and they were just starting to find their identity. And it wasn't until they got into that kind of like gritty, sexy kind
Exactly.
That's how they got to the level that they did. And then interesting, you should bring up the Beatles because the Beatles came in number one. And
I don't even think that's up for discussion.
No, I don't think so either. Because the Beatles were so influential overall to so many different artists. And you can sit there and you can name every there without a beat. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, Ringo Starr, you know, even Pete Best. You can go back to Pete Best. But I never saw the Beatles, but I did see Paul McCartney. And somebody had asked me, I thought it was an interesting question. You take everything off the table. You have one band. You're on a deserted island. It's this deserted island thing. One band, and you can only listen to their recordings or their spinoffs, if you will.
All right, or covers?
I said the Beatles, and I said the Beatles only because the Beatles, when they started, were not the Beatles that ended. They morphed their music through their entire career, and then you had all the solo acts. You had McCartney, you've got Ringo, you've got Harrison, you've got
McCartney.
They all had their own, so all that gets lumped in, and I would dare say you would be hard pressed to find better songwriters than Paul McCartney and John Lennon.
By far. And as you said too, the Beatles also started out with that Herman's Hermits kind of,
sure,
you know, girl, boy, let's go dating, the happy poppy thing.
I saw her standing there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And developed over time as their tastes changed and they, you know, grew a little bit older. And yeah, they were just remarkably, remarkably influential.
Right. I mean,
And Ringo's still with us. And so is Paul.
Yeah, so is Paul. And Paul, I think, somebody may correct me, but I think he's touring this summer. I think he's going out. He's isolated where he's going, you know,
sure.
So he's not going to be traveling so much. But Ringo and his All-Stars, have you ever seen them?
I bet they're great.
Oh, they're fantastic.
I bet.
And I was a huge George Harrison fan, And not to get morbid, but my daughter and I were in New York and we went to the Strawberry Fields and we went to the Dakota. And this guard came out. They're very protective of the area where this all happened.
I bet.
Where he was killed. And this guard came out and he said, "Hey, ladies." And we were like, "Hi." And he said, you want to know where it happened? And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I was working when it happened." And it was so fascinating to sit and talk to this guy. And he said, he said, "I can't let you in." But he said, "Right up there." And he pointed. He goes, that's where it happened.
Oh.
And it was just so interesting. And then we went over to Strawberry Fields, and it's packed all the time. People are all sitting around the seal that says Strawberry Fields, and they're playing their guitars, and they're singing.
Oh, that's great.
It's really, and in that sense, it was death, as tragic as it was, very unifying to their fans, you know? So that's it. So you've got Beatles, number one. Then you've got the Rolling Stones. Then you've got Queen. Then you've got Zeppelin. And then you've got Pink Floyd rounding out the top five, according to this radio station.
We have been taking other suggestions on our, you can either call, you can always text at 844-967-2789. Some other suggestions for the greatest rock bands of all times. Pearl Jam? Is that Eddie Vedder?
Yeah. I mean, I would even, you know, if you're going to go in that genre with Pearl Jam, I think this is all time. Those still are kind of, they're not new, but.
Niche?
Yeah.
A little more niche?
Right. Alt-rock. Definitely alt-rock. And you've got Nirvana that's also in there. Very, very influential. Very influential.
What about someone else suggested from the 715? The Crew, Motley Crue.
I love Motley Crue too, but you've also got to put other band. Couple of those are like, that's the Bon Jovi, big
the hair,
huge,
the hair boys,
right?
The hair bands,
yeah, the big hair bands. That's not like the greatest bands of all time, but if you have your own category of like the greatest hair bands, they'd be right in there. They would be in there. I watched, actually, it's interesting. I watched on Netflix, Tommy and Pam.
Oh.
I did. I devoted some time to that.
That you can never, ever get back.
Well, I was just curious, but I did watch, I said to my husband, I go, "Okay, you got to see this scene." And I pulled it up on my iPad. I played it for him when the drum kit off the floor and then went above and upside down. And I was just like, that's why the Crew is so big. They did outrageous things like
that. And they
that.
Just didn't care.
No. Uh-uh. No. I sometimes think that, you know, like the Beatles were a little softer and they were kind of, you know, the humanitarians of the Crew. But I think sometimes a great rock and roll band like the Rolling Stones, they just don't give a crap, you know? It's just, that's what makes them so interesting and iconic, is that they just don't care.
And the number of hotel furniture they had to replace over the years, after years and years and years of touring.
Oh, yeah.
Talking rock bands, Jane Matinier, Carol Kane, in for Kristen Bry. One more break, and we will be back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin.
My tears are falling like rain from the sky. Is it for her or myself that I cry? I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
right.
was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much. Mm-hmm. I had no supervision.
More like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies overnight with a mixture of precipitation likely. Lows level off around 34. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 49. Cloudy again tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers 28. A dusting of snow overnight with another 2 to 4 inches Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
To As Goes Wisconsin, Carol Kane, Jane Matinier, in for Kristen Brice. She will be back tomorrow at noon. Last segment, we were talking about the best rock bands of all time. Still have a couple texts coming in at 844-967-2789. 262 says, you forgot about the Kinks.
Well, no, the Kinks are great, but and they have a strong fan base, but they're not, I don't think, as widely accepted as like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones.
They're, as far as being influential?
Yeah. And they certainly weren't as commercial. If you
no, that's
mean.
For sure. And another one, another texter from the 920, The Who, Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey,
yeah.
John Entwistle, and Keith Moon. And you're right again. Look, they're all Brits.
Every single one of them.
They're all Brits.
I know. What a way. I don't even know what we're coming up with. We're falling way behind. Good Lord.
Now, before we wrap things up here today, we're just going to kick around a little Oscar conversation.
Yeah, because the Oscars come up on, they happen on March 12th.
And, right.
You know, love them or hate them or whatever, I just think it's kind of, I don't know. I pulled up this article that says, why your favorite movie will not win Best Picture at the Oscars. And it always is that, and you know that, what is that one? Everything, Everywhere, All at Once?
You got it.
What the hell was that? Jane, I have to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think I'm smart enough for some of these movies. I really don't. And I don't think I'm stupid. I just don't, I didn't get it. I did not get it. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. And I was with it about the first third of the way I could follow. I was following along okay.
Okay.
And then I felt things started happening so quickly. I had no idea what was going on. And then there came a point where I thought, okay, they're going to wrap it up now. And that will make sense to me. And then it went on to have another entire extra third of the film, and then by that point I was completely lost.
Yeah.
And you know, we had Matt Miller on a couple of weeks or last week, and I feel the same way as you do. Either it's my age or I'm just not esoteric enough to understand the message.
See, I always preface with this, because I was an English literature major. So I could read anything, any symbolism. I could do all that stuff. And I was just completely gone. I didn't get it. And I don't understand why it's up for so many awards. Now, I have seen, I saw Maverick. Okay. I wasn't like, you know, people were blown away by it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I mean, the special effects, I assume, were one of the big draws for that.
Well, the dog fights in the air and things like that. And it, you know, brought about that sense of patriotism and things like that. And okay, fine. I got it. I did see Elvis. I think that kid is, he absolutely was Elvis Presley. He was great. I did see The Banshees.
The Banshees of Inisherin?
I hated that movie.
I was so upset by that film. I was so upset by that film.
With the donkey?
Yeah.
Shh. I'm not going to say
anymore. Don't spoil it.
No, I'm just going to say he had a miniature donkey
Jenny.
In this.
Jenny the donkey.
Yes. But that was another one. At the end, for me, there was no... I'm very traditional. I want a beginning, a middle, and an end. I don't think that's asking too much from my movies. And at the end of Banshees, I was like, I just spent 2 hours of my life trying to figure out why these two were where they were. And then at the end, they're just like, ah, well.
And on we go. Okay.
What? Now, so I haven't seen Tar. I haven't seen Avatar. But I hear Tar is excellent.
Yes, I have too.
The German composer.
Right.
I heard that's unbelievable. And some of the other ones I'm kind of losing as to. There's 10 of them.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, I hear that's wonderful, but it's brutal.
I did watch it, and I.
There you go. That's all you need to say.
I mean, it is beautifully shot. So is Banshees. The cinematography on Banshees is really spectacular.
No doubt.
And the scenery in that area of Ireland where they filmed it is just gorgeous. But All Quiet on the Western Front is really well done. It's also really difficult to watch because the story is just so painful. And the brutality.
That's what I hear.
It's just really, it's hard to watch fellow humans behave in this way.
And, okay, I'm just going to say this, too, that I, once again, I'm very simple. I mean, I could follow Maverick, and I'm sure I could follow Avatar, which I hear cinematography in Avatar is just spectacular.
I'm sure.
Just spectacular. But I'm not a big Avatar fan, and that's not a very...
Doesn't call you.
No.
Doesn't speak
to
you.
No. But now, conversely, Carol's kind of movie, I saw 80 for Brady.
And that is with?
That's with Sally Field, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Rita Moreno. And Tom Brady's in it, too.
Now, he is.
Yeah, Tom Brady's in it, too. Say what you will about Tom Brady. He produced it, whatever. It's pretty self-serving. But it was an hour and a half of delicious popcorn and not having to think. I just wanted to go and be entertained. If I have to, you know, if I pop a vein in my head because I have to think so hard about these things, I'm not going to enjoy the darn thing. I'm just not.
Well, and I think it all depends upon how you approach films too, right? If you are going to a film to learn something, you know, to be educated, you're going to select different things. If you want a popcorn movie, and that's what I tend to look for too, I'm always looking for the latest Pixar movie that makes me laugh.
Yeah, me too. I love Pixar.
To just have a place to escape a little bit.
Yeah.
So maybe we're just not the Oscar kind of crowd, Carol, that they're shooting for.
Well, they say that the voters of Oscar are looking for risk takers. That's what they're looking for. They don't want just, you know, box office biggies. They want people that take a risk. And that's why the Everything Everywhere All at Once is leading the pack.
And it's probably going to win.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. And she'll probably win. The lead will probably win Best Actress, unless Tar. Who's in?
Kate Blanchett.
Yeah. She's pretty strong in that, too, in that category. So we'll see. I don't know. I'll watch them.
I will, too.
Because I like the red carpet. I like pretty things. It's so ridiculous of me, but I like to look at the purses and the shoes and the jewelry and what the heck she wearing, you know?
See, and I always go, you have that body and that much money, and that's what you picked.
Yeah, that happens too. that happens too.
Carol Kane and Jane Matineer, thank you so much for spending time with us this afternoon. Kristen Bry, we'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Dueling Tangents. Coming up next, stay right here as goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
My former boss, George Stanley, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've told you the story of that. My brother and I are fighting over who's going to get our tickets. I think I have claim because I live here.
Exactly.
Right? He's older, but I live here.
Yeah, but that trumps it.
So. It's been decided now. It's done.
I'll tell my parents. That's even more.
You can let him go to one game if he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.